From atheism to astrophysics, from evolution to economics, from comparative religion to cults, from philosophy to politics, a voice of reason in our confused world and beacon of truth and hope in this age of uncertainty. Welcome to God and Science Foundation with physician, teacher, and evangelist, Dr. Paul Kattupalli. God and Science Foundation is designed to study the relationship between God and science and to defend Christian faith from a scientific perspective. Dr. Paul's teaching helps you understand the vital issues affecting our world from a biblical worldview. For today's lecture, here is Dr. Paul.
Welcome back to Defender's Voice. This is Paul Kattupalli. Thank you for listening to this message. I hope you are doing well. Please visit our website www.drpaul.org to learn more about our ministry. Our needs this month are support to our orphanage and support to our radio and TV ministry. Please help us in whatever way you can. You can donate to us online at www.drpaul.org or you can call us 814-996-4915 or write to us, Defender's Voice, 1516 Martin Street, State College, Pennsylvania, 16803. We look forward to hearing from you. Kamala Harris, potentially the future Vice President of the United States of America. Who is Kamala Harris? What is her background? What is her religion? What are her core beliefs? I read an article titled, Kamala Harris is the Future of American Religion. It starts these words, Kamala Harris filled two criteria that Joe Biden wanted in a running mate. She is a woman and she is black. Two critical Democratic constituencies ahead of the November elections. But Harris, the 55-year-old junior senator from California, has other advantages in the 2020 presidential race. She embodies the future of American religion in a time of expanding religious pluralism, the country's younger generation, many of them children and grandchildren of immigrants, will recognize in Harris a kind of multi-faith and spiritual belonging unfamiliar to the mostly white Christian majority of past decades. Harris, who was born in Oakland, California, to a Jamaican immigrant father, Donald Harris, and an Indian immigrant mother, Shyamala Gopalan, is both black and South Asian. She grew up in a home that accommodated both Christian and Hindu religious practices. As an adult, she married Douglas Emhoff, a Jewish Brooklyn-born lawyer. There are a lot more young Americans who identity-wise are like Kamala Harris, mixed race, with a background of lots of different cultural, ethnic, and religious experiences. That's just a demographic fact. End quote. So Kamala Harris is a product of our culture and its aspirations. Gone are the days when we look at a political candidate and ask about his or her convictions. Gone are the days when we look at a political candidate and examine their lives for character and consistency. Now we ask, can this candidate help us win the election? Does this candidate look like our voters? Kamala Harris passed on the first two criteria Joe Biden wanted in a running mate. She is a woman and she is black. Welcome to identity politics. Your gender and race are the first criteria to be chosen as a political candidate. Then Kamala Harris has a unique religious background. Her dad is a Christian, her mom was a Hindu, and her husband is a Jew. In Kamala Harris, we see three dominant religions of our time coming together: Hinduism, Christianity, and Judaism. People are saying, oh, this is so unique, this is so great. This woman does not have to heed commandments of any particular religion. She can pick and choose from Hinduism, Christianity, and Judaism. So today, pluralism has become a virtue in the Western society because it became a post-truth society. There is no objective truth out there. There is no external moral reference frame out there. Being nice to everyone is more important than having truth. Being woke means you should not look at distinctive beliefs at the core of each religion. She does yoga, she celebrates Christmas, she celebrates Diwali, she practices meditation, she cares about climate change, she strives for social justice. What more do you need in a candidate? If you stick to one religion, that is seen narrow-mindedness, archaic, and even bigoted. If you embrace all religions, you are seen as open-minded, modern, tolerant, and cool. This situation is the result of New Age movement. Russian-born Helena Blavatsky did a masterful job in mixing Western occultism with elements of Hinduism and Buddhism. She created an exotic system of spiritual belief called theosophy. She is the mother of the New Age movement. She wanted to create a universal syncretic religion. Don't stick to Hinduism or Buddhism or Judaism or Christianity or Islam. Make up your own religion. Our narcissistic, self-centered culture loves this syncretic religion. But let us not forget about the core differences between Hinduism and Christianity. Hindus believe in pantheism and polytheism. God is in everything and God manifests in different forms. Hinduism also has another core belief called monism. All is one. There is finally no difference between God, the humanity, the animals, plants, and non-living matter. But in Christianity, God is transcendent. There is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This God does not share his glory with human beings or animals or plants. He is distinct from his creation. In Hinduism, there is no equality. Human beings are born in this world carrying their past deeds in the form of karma. They are born in different hierarchical caste system. Caste system cannot be separated from karma. English football coach Glenn Hoddle once said that people born with disabilities were being punished for the sins of a former life. That caused a firestorm. This football coach believes that disabled people got their disabilities as a product of their karma. In John chapter 9, we see a blind man. Jesus and his disciples stand near this blind man. The disciples ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" Jesus tells them, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." That sums up Christian view of disability. Jesus said the blind man is not blind because of his sins or the sins of his parents. It happened so that the works of God might be displayed in this person. What if a pregnant woman carrying a fetus with genetic or some other kind of deformity? Hinduism blames that unborn baby for its disabilities. Kamala Harris thinks that women should have a choice to abort such babies. But in Christian worldview, even that unborn baby with genetic defects or some other kind of defects or disabilities or deformities should have an opportunity to be born and to live so that the works of God might be displayed in the life of that baby. Christians believe that God created all human beings equally, including those with disabilities. There is no karma. There is no past existence. There is no caste. Hinduism is still struggling to allow women into its temples. For example, Sabarimala temple in Kerala is one of the largest annual pilgrimage sites in the world. It attracts over 50 million devotees every year. But women are not allowed to enter this temple. Jesus allowed women to be his followers. All churches allow both men and women. In Hinduism, human beings are trapped in the cycle of karma. Birth, death, rebirth, death, rebirth. This endless cycle goes on until the soul reaches moksha. In your next life, you may be born as the richest man in the world like Jeff Bezos or a beetle or some mosquito. Your destiny is in your hands. There is no savior. You liberate yourself from your bad karma by doing good works. So Hinduism is a religion of works. By contrast, Christianity is a religion of grace. It is commendable that you are a good person. It is commendable that you are doing good things in life, but they cannot save you. God is holy and you do not meet God's holy standards. Never in the past, never in the present, and never in the future. Your sins are horrible. You are dead in your sins. The moment your heart stops, you will enter an eternity of damnation and hell. But here is the good news. God loved you so much that he made a way of escape. God loved you so much that he sent a savior to save you from hell. His name is Jesus. He came to this world 2,000 years ago. He lived a sinless, holy, and perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, but on the third day, he victoriously conquered death. Today, Jesus is a living Savior. He wants to be the Lord of your life. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 3:23. So those are the fundamental differences between Hinduism and Christianity. In Hinduism, you can reincarnate in countless forms and can live countless lives. In Christianity, this is all the life you got. Once it is over, you are not coming back. Either you are saved in Christ or you face the judgment of God. There is no third way. But secular humanism believes there is a third way. You don't have to be saved from your sins. You are not going to face the judgment of God. You live your life on your own terms. You squeeze the juice out of your existence, claiming your own rights. This secularism believes in Darwinism. You are just an evolved human animal. If you are just an evolved animal, who gave you your rights? There is no God in their worldview. We talk a lot about universal human rights, but universal human rights make sense only in a Judeo-Christian worldview. In Hinduism, if you are living in oppression, that is your karma. If you are a slave, that is your karma. Same with naturalism. If you are a slave, that is where evolution and naturalism brought you. That is nobody's fault. Only in Judeo-Christian worldview is it immoral to oppress someone. It is immoral to enslave someone because everyone, no matter what is their skin color, is created by a loving God in His image. But our secular modern world thinks otherwise. Its philosophy is live as long as you can, enjoy as much as you can, don't care about God, don't care about eternity, don't worry about heaven or hell, don't worry about sins and judgment, because you sinned against nobody and nobody is going to judge you. In Europe today, they are adopting euthanasia. If you think life is pleasureless and painful, ask your doctor to give you a lethal injection. More or less, this is the religion of most young people in our time. Kamala Harris is brilliantly exploiting the truthless pluralism of our time. On one hand, she says she is a Christian. She attends a Baptist church. On the other hand, she goes to Hindu temples and worships Hindu gods. She recently asked Hindus to break coconuts in their temples for her victory. The Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, is a devout Muslim. He would never go to a Hindu temple or a Christian church and ask the congregation to pray for his victory. Why? Because he's committed to Islam. And he knew that Allah will not listen to the prayers of Christian blasphemers. Muslims never invite Christians to their mosque for prayer because in Islam, nothing is more blasphemous than Christians calling Jesus their God, Lord, and Savior. The Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, is a devout Hindu. He would never go to a mosque or a Christian church and ask the congregation to pray for his victory. For Modi, his commitment to his Hinduism is of utmost importance. I respect that. He is not a phony. He recognizes that religion carries commitment and consistency to a set of principles. If you believe India is the only sacred place in the world, you cannot call Israel the Holy Land when you go to visit Bibi Netanyahu in Jerusalem. I like that because you should have commitment to your faith. Modi understood Hinduism well and he is committed to a consistent practice of Hinduism. You cannot say, I love my husband, but I also love other men. The latest trend is polyamory. I love my husband, I also love other men. I love my wife and I also love other women. I am a Christian, but I also love other faiths. I am a Hindu, but I also love Christianity. But you should realize that polyamory has no place in Christian faith. In the Old Testament book of Kings, we find the people of Israel following different religions at the same time. On the one hand, they are going to the temple of Jehovah and worshipping the God of their forefather Abraham. And on the other hand, they are going to the temples of their pagan neighbors and worshipping Baal. Prophet Elijah called them out of their faltering. He shouts at them, "How long will you waver between two ways? If Jehovah is God, worship Jehovah. If Baal is God, worship Baal. Don't try both ways. How long will you limp between two ways? How long will you hesitate between two ways? Make up your mind and stick to one." Lord Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Either you love one and hate the other, either you devote to one and despise the other. Don't delude yourself saying, I can serve all my masters. I can love all my gods. Jesus said in Luke 11:23, if you are not with me, you are against me. There are only two positions you can take. You are either with Jesus or against Jesus. You cannot have both Jesus and Muhammad. You cannot have both Jesus and Buddha. You cannot have both Jesus and Krishna. In John 14:6, Jesus made it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Here, Father means God. No one comes to God except through me. That is a very serious statement. If you don't believe that, you are making Jesus a liar. If you don't believe that, you are making Jesus a dishonest person. If you look closely into the career of Kamala Harris, her commitment is neither to Christianity nor to Hinduism, but to power politics of our time. In 2018, Kamala Harris was a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Sitting before her was Brian Boucher, a nominee to Federal District Court. Mr. Boucher joined the Knights of Columbus at the age of 18. The Knights of Columbus is a pro-life Catholic charitable organization. Kamala Harris bluntly asks Mr. Boucher, were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed a woman's right to choose when you joined the organization? Were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed marriage equality when you joined the organization? Have you ever in any way assisted with or contributed to advocacy against women's reproductive rights? So according to Kamala Harris, if you are a member of a pro-life religious organization, you are not eligible to serve on a federal bench. Woman's right to choose. What about a baby's right to live? Those unborn babies have a right to live. When slavery was legal in the United States, slave masters argued that they had a right to own slaves. They said slaves are not fully human or may not be human at all. Similarly, today we hear the unborn babies are not fully human or may not be human at all. Hinduism does not care about unborn human babies. Hindu radicals care more about cows and cattle than unborn human babies. Millions of unborn babies, mostly of female sex, get aborted every year in India. But in Christian faith, we believe that unborn lives do matter because each human being is created in the image of God. Kamala Harris cannot be a Christian while claiming to have no regard for the lives of unborn babies. Joe Biden claims to be a Catholic, but he ignores Catholic Church's teaching that unborn babies do matter. So Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, their true religion is not Christian faith. They are committed to secular humanism, the most popular religion of our time. It is a tragedy that many Americans do not appreciate the Christian foundations of this nation. We are becoming like ancient Israel. God called the children of Israel out of Egypt to form a new nation in the land of Canaan. Their first motivation was religious freedom. Moses asked Pharaoh, We want to worship the God of our forefathers, so we must leave Egypt. The Pilgrim Fathers left England to establish the American colonies. Why did they leave England? They wanted religious freedom. They wanted to worship God of the Bible as Bible dictates, not as the King of England dictates or Church of England dictates. America was born for religious freedom and in religious freedom. In Kamala Harris's America, as we go through this COVID pandemic, you have freedom to get an abortion, but you don't have freedom to attend a church service. Pastor John MacArthur is a man of God. He built a mega church in Los Angeles, California. Now the government of California would like to arrest this great pastor for having church services on Sunday morning. We are in this state because we left the core values of the Bible and embraced truthless pluralistic materialism of our time. Now, how should we respond to this culture? We should remember that truth and love are not mutually exclusive. Our culture thinks we should stop preaching the biblical truth so that we can be nice to everyone. But the Bible teaches that we can still love people while telling them the truth. That is how our blessed Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, taught and lived. That is how the apostles taught and lived. They preached the gospel while loving people around them. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The truth is, we are sinners. We are lost in our sins. We need a Savior to save us from our sins. That is where we need Jesus. He is our Savior. The Son of Man is Jesus. He is God who took upon a human body to come to this world to save us from our sins. There is no other Savior. We should put our trust in Him and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. Let us hope Kamala Harris will come to know the truth of the Bible rather than falsely claiming to be a Christian. May God richly bless her.
Thank you for listening to this message. Please visit us on www.drpaul.org. That is www.docterpaul.org to learn more about Dr. Paul Kadupalli's medical ministry and teaching. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please consider a prayerful donation to our ministry to meet our ongoing expenses.
Dear friend, this is Paul Kadupalli. Thank you for listening to our program. We are all going through financial difficulties due to corona pandemic. We need to trust God more than ever to help us continue preaching the gospel. We need your support to continue this ministry. Please help us in whatever way you can. $5, $10, $20, $50, $100. We would appreciate any amount. Please send us the best gift you can. Any amount you send us, help us in preaching the gospel to people around the world. Remember, every donation is tax deductible. If you can help us in any way, please call me at 814-996-4915. That is 814-996-4915. Write me an email at info@drpaul.org. That is info@drpaul.org. You can donate to us online at www.drpaul.org. That is www.drpaul.org. You can also mail your check to Defenders Voice, 1516 Martin Street, State College, Pennsylvania 16803. That's address again, Defenders Voice, 1516 Martin Street, State College, Pennsylvania 16803. Thank you. May God richly bless you.